I'm not sure we thank the people who put up all the Christmas decorations inside and out. Would you please thank the Lord for them as well? I want you to grab your bulletin quickly, and inside there's an insert with all the Christmas Eve services on it. I just want you to know we have three different campuses, Aqua Dulce, Woodland Hills, and then Porter Ranch. And these services are all identical, and we have communion. We have candlelight. If you've never been to one of our Christmas Eve services, it's the most beautiful service of the year. And we want you to kind of look through that schedule, and we want you to kind of pick a night that you can join. We'll have services here on Friday night. That's Christmas Eve Eve. And then on Christmas Eve, we have three services, I think at 5, 7, and for all you crazy people that show up at 11 o'clock at night, it's true. We have a lot of people that show up at 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve. We get out at midnight. I should be in bed. But we always conclude the service with the candlelights and singing Silent Night. And so I hope that you'll plan on being here. Now, the reason I drew this to your attention was because this insert is for you to go and invite someone else. So you find a time that works for you, but then we want you to invite someone else. And if you use your bulletin, because if you notice, we did this on purpose, you have the times inside there as well. So you actually have two invitations, and we want you to do this, okay? How many of you will at least try? You'll try to invite two different people to come to our Christmas Eve. Good. Give yourselves a hand. And I will tell you that next Sunday, we're not really having services. So the Christmas Eve services are the services. For anyone who does show up here on Sunday at 11, we're going to like replay the service on the screen. So you won't be left off totally, okay? So we're trying to make this work out for everybody. Well, I heard a story about an old man. He's an old guy. He calls his son up one day, and he says, "Son, your mother and I are getting a divorce." And the boy goes, "What?" "Yep," he says, "45 years is enough misery." He goes, "Dad, what are you talking about?" He said, "Son, we're tired of each other. We're tired of looking at each other. And I'm tired of talking about this." He goes, "You call your sister and let her know we're getting a divorce." And he hangs up the phone. The son is devastated. He calls his sister. He says, "Sister, you're not going to believe what Dad just called me. He said they're getting a divorce after 45 years. And she said, "Nothing's happening." She hangs up the phone. She calls her dad. She says, "Dad, you're not getting a divorce. Don't call a lawyer. Don't sign any papers. Brother and I, we're coming home. We'll get on a flight. We'll be there tomorrow. Don't you do a thing." She hangs up the phone. The old man turns to his wife. He says, "Well, it worked." Christmas is 3 days away, and they're both coming home. And they're paying for their own airfare. That's a great story. You know, when you're young, you're just a young child, the best thing about Christmas is waking up on Christmas morning and unwrapping all those gifts. When you get a little more mature, the joy comes from giving gifts, giving presents. But when you're old, the only thing that matters is who you get to be with. No one wants to do love long distance, and neither does God. The fact is, God wants and desires to have a relationship and to be with you. That is the purpose of Christmas. Amen. I want to speak to you. There's a bulletin. There's an outline inside your bulletin there. I want to speak to you on this subject, the good news of Christmas. The good news of Christmas. How many of you feel like you need to have some good news here today? I don't know about you, but it doesn't matter what day of the week it is. If I watch news for 5 minutes, it's depressing and discouraging, from the politics to the pandemic to inflation to the godlessness that's in our culture. It's demoralizing. Dictionary.com literally just added a new word to our lexicon. It's a legit word, and here's the word. It's called doom scrolling, one word. Doom scrolling, it's a new word. What is doom scrolling? Doom scrolling is when you go to bed at night and you pick up your phone for the 500th time and you start to scroll. And you see how the economy is cratering and children are being indoctrinated and the criminals are roaming the streets and you hear of wars and rumors of wars and there's this endless scroll through doom and gloom. That's doom scrolling. But it's not just looking at the news. Doom scrolling is where you look at it so much that eventually you yourself start to sink into a pool of despair. Doom scrolling is the act of consuming an endless procession of negative news that eventually can and will lead to a breakdown of mental health, a breakdown of emotional health, and a breakdown of spiritual health. Well, I'm thankful that you came to church today because instead of doom scrolling or whatever it is that's causing you to have despair, we've come to share with each of you some good news, some great news, some healthy news, some life-changing news. It's called Christmas. Christmas is the good news. Everybody say good news. I want you to take your Bibles. I just want to read through this story, Luke chapter 2. Instead of doom scrolling, we're going to do scripture scrolling. That needs to be in the lexicon. Scripture. Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 2, we're just going to read it in case you've never read it. Hopefully you have. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. So Joseph, everybody say Joseph. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Verse 5. He went there to register with Mary. Everybody say her name. Mary. Who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. And there were shepherds. Everybody say shepherds. Shepherds. What's the name of this church? Shepherds. You know how to spell shepherd? You know, I ask people all the time, can you spell the shepherd? And half the people I ask cannot spell. So I want you to look at it. There aren't two P's. There's no A in it. It's shep-herd. Everybody say shepherd. That's my goal for next year, is to get everybody to spell shepherd. Anyway. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Everybody say good news one more time. I bring you some good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And all God's people said. I want to give you four reasons why Christmas is good news. Number one, write this down, because it banishes fear. It banishes fear. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. Fear is one of the most crippling human emotion. It paralyzes soldiers in the midst of war. It keeps us from achieving our goals and dreams. Fear weakens our immune system. Did you know that? It accelerates aging and can lead to premature death. It can cause you to reach for drugs and alcohol to numb your anxiety. It zaps you of your energy and your potential. It keeps Christians from sharing their faith. Fear and uncertainty can keep you from fully trusting in God. On the night of Jesus' birth, the lowly shepherds were out in the middle of their fields It was in the middle of the night. There was no electricity. And verse 9, all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the Bible says that they were absolutely terrified. They were gripped with fear. I want you to think of a panic attack on steroids. And so the first words that the angel speaks are the words, "Fear not." Those words are found over 300 times in the Bible. And it seems like every time an angel ever talks, his first words are the words, "Fear not." But it's not just to the shepherds. The shepherds are not the only ones that need to hear those words. For each of us need to be reminded that because of Jesus, you and I have nothing to fear. Now, we're fearful of a lot of things. We have fear of inflation. I saw a poll this week that was conducted that 2 out of every 3 Americans are now living paycheck to paycheck. Some of us are afraid of our past. There are things in our past that we're afraid of. Some of us are afraid of the present because we don't know how we're going to get through today. Some of us are fearful of the future because we don't know what the future holds. I read that 30, 40 years ago, a child's greatest fear was usually some animal or being in a dark room or being on a high ledge or hearing a loud noise. But today our greatest fears are divorce, nuclear war, cancer, being robbed or mugged, pollution. And the truth be told, we're fearful of a lot of things. We fear that we might lose our job, not being able to, you know, to pay our bills or to pay our mortgage. We're afraid of something happening in our relationship. Some of us are afraid of the fact that we're losing our freedoms. Some of us are afraid of failure. Some of us are afraid of being alone. We're afraid of death, afraid of dying, afraid of being persecuted for our faith. Now, the good news of Christmas is this word Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christmas is God coming into our world in the form of a baby. And if you know the Christ of Christmas, you have nothing to fear. When you receive the good news of Jesus Christ into your heart, you don't have to be afraid or fearful of anything in this world. Amen. Bill and Gloria Gaither are songwriters. They wrote over 700 songs. And one of their most famous songs is the song called "Because He Lives." And the words go, "God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives." And the chorus goes, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives." Oh, that's good news. That's good news. Now, the second thing, Christmas is good news because, write this down, it brings great joy. It brings great joy. Verse 10 says, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy." The good news is great joy. Now, you need to know it doesn't say great happiness. Doesn't say anything about happiness. He says great joy. Happiness is based on circumstances. Happiness is based on our happenings, our circumstances. You know, if things are good, then I can be happy. If the weather is nice, I can be happy. If everybody's healthy, no problems, I can be happy. It's true. If USC loses, I can be happy. I'm happy because of my circumstances. But joy is something entirely different. Joy takes place irregardless of the circumstances. And joy comes from God. And he places something deep within you that you can have joy no matter your circumstances. In March of 2020, my father passed away. I've never felt such pain, such loss. My heart was filled with emptiness. And not a week goes by. It's been almost 3 years. This week, I woke up one day, cried for 15 minutes. I can't be happy because my dad died. Are you crazy? Yet, I have joy, sheer joy, knowing that my dad is in heaven. knowing that he's no longer suffering, knowing that he is with Jesus, knowing that the promises of God are true, knowing that I will see him again, knowing that he was saved, and knowing that this is not the end. Amen? Just a couple of days ago, this family, this is DJ and Chyna, and DJ's on our staff, and he spent most of his time on this campus, but recently he's been on in our West Valley campus. They have three kids. And DJ, I hope I don't offend anyone else on the staff, but he's like the most likable person on our staff. I mean, we're not all likable. You do know that, right? But everybody loves DJ. And that little girl, her name is Oriana, 14 months old. They had the two boys, and they wanted to have a girl. And God blessed them with that little angel. And this last week, she had some health complications. And just a couple of days ago, that little girl, while in her mother's arms, passed from this life into the next. That family's devastated beyond measure. Our staff is devastated. The last 48 hours has been nothing but broken hearts and tears flowing like rivers around this place. There is no happiness of any kind in a moment where you're sitting there looking at the Christmas tree at the gifts that you're going to give your little girl, and the next moment you're trying to decide where you're going to bury her. But there can be a joy, something that only God can put within you, where we might not understand, we might not ever understand, but we trust in a God who he himself gave up his one and only son to come into a messy world to help us. There's something in our faith, it's faith that causes us to trust in the midst of such heartache. Even though we have 1,000 questions, we have 1,000 questions. And it seems like every question starts with the word why. Why us? Why now? Why this? But there's an assurance and a joy, if you are a believer, that Oriana today is with Jesus, that Oriana is actually giggling today, that she's waiting for us in a land that is fairer than day, that Oriana will never have to experience another day of pain in this world, that Oriana will never ever have to go to a hospital again. Oh, we feel a sense of loss, but joy is not based on happy circumstances. It's based on the knowledge and the truth of Scripture and the revelation of a thing called Christmas. Amen. That God left heaven and he came to this earth to redeem mankind, to save this world from their sins. He came to save you and he came to save me. Oh, listen to me. 2,000 years ago, joy was born. True Christmas brings about true joy. It's not possible without Jesus. The problem today is that Christmas has been hijacked by a secular society. You know, the millions of people in this country celebrate Christmas and they have no idea who the Christ is of Christmas. They think it has something to do with a tree or a stocking or a candy cane or an office party. I want you to look around and be observant of what's going on in our culture today. I mean, look at the Christmas commercials, look at the decorations around town. Listen to the verbiage of local businesses. No one says Merry Christmas. You won't hear Merry Christmas on TV commercials. You'll hear Happy Holidays. season greetings. Like, what is that? And you know why they won't say Merry Christmas? It's because the name Christ is in that word. They're trying to celebrate something. And the main thing is the birthday of Jesus Christ. It's his birthday. And they throw all these parties, but they don't say Merry Christmas because his name is in it. It doesn't make any sense. So they say Happy Holiday. Going into debt to buy gifts for next year's garage sale isn't happy or joyful. Getting drunk at the yearly holiday party isn't happy or joyful. Seeking objects or gifts that ultimately do not satisfy, it's not happy. You've missed the true meaning of Christmas. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus Christ was born, a baby was born. He is Christ the Lord, God in flesh, Emmanuel. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'll say that again. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let Jesus fill you with his inexpressible joy this Christmas. And I will say this in kindness. If you don't have joy, you probably don't know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God puts that joy inside of you. Amen. The third reason why Christmas is good news is because it's all about a Savior. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Oh, this is no ordinary baby. This is Christ the Lord, the Savior of the world. And the good news of Christmas is that this Savior came into this world for you. It's not just that God came for us, and it's not just that God came to be with us, it's that he came to save us. God in heaven literally moved into your neighborhood in order to save us. You see, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says all have sinned, that everybody's done wrong. There are none that are righteous. We've all made mistakes. We've all committed transgressions. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. Christ comes to be the sacrifice for our sins. Some of you are here mistakenly. You think that God is like Santa Claus, that he makes a list, that he checks it twice, and he's trying to keep track of who's been naughty and nice. But Jesus didn't come to remind us of our sins. Jesus came to redeem us from our sins. None of us deserve to go to heaven. God loves us even though we are sinners. He came to save us from our sins. That's why he's called Savior. Like if I have an electrical problem at my house, I need to call an electrician. If I have a plumbing problem at my house, I call a plumber. If I have a roofing problem at my house, I call a roofer. If I have car trouble, I call a mechanic. If I have a computer problem, I call the Geek Squad. But my greatest problem is I have a sin problem, and therefore I need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior of the entire world. Which leads me to the fourth reason why Christmas is the good news is because it's for everybody. It's for everybody. I want you to go back and look at that verse again in verse 8. I made a joke about the shepherds, but they're the main part of the story. Look at verse 8 again. There were shepherds. Everybody say shepherds one more time. You know how to spell it now, right? The shepherds were the lowest of the low. They were not highly esteemed. They weren't educated. They weren't wealthy. They were not the elitist. Did you know that shepherds were often thought of as being dishonest and insignificant? So for this great announcement, it wasn't made on Wall Street. It says in verse 8, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, to the shepherds, do not be afraid, because I bring you the shepherds. I bring you the good news of great joy that will be not just for you, but will be for all people. That today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Oh, the gospel is for everybody. You know, if I could line you all up, which I'm not going to do, thank God, but if I lined you all up, there's one person in here, you are the wealthiest person in this room. And someone in here, you're the poorest person in here. And the gospel, the story of Christmas, is for both of you. It's for the educated, for the uneducated. It's for those of us that live here in the San Fernando Valley, and it's for those of you that live over there in Beverly Hills. It's for those of you that drive brand new cars, and for those of you that drive clunkers. Those of you that wear nice threads, those of you that wear hand-me-downs, those of you that have it all together, those of you that are barely hanging on by a thread, those of you that got it all figured out, those of you that don't even have a clue, those of you that are in church every week, and those of you that never enter the church of Jesus Christ, the gospel is for you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever, everybody say whoever, we all live in Whoville. That whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Everybody is a somebody to Jesus. My friend Rick Ashley tells a story of a friend of his who was a pastor in Branson, Missouri. And one night at their church, they had a night of worship. And the pastor looked up and there were some guests and he went over to introduce himself to make the visitors feel welcome. And this man said to the pastor, I was just passing through town. I saw you had this event at your church, night of worship, and I just decided to come because right now I can't get enough of Jesus. And he told his story that 2 years earlier on a Christmas Eve, that he had planned to take his own life. His wife had left him. He had a gun. He had already written a note. His plan, he had thought it through. He was going to drink a whole bottle of Jack Daniels. And then he was going to take his own life. He's halfway through the bottle. They knock on the door. And they won't stop knocking. So he goes over and opens the door. And it's his neighbor, a guy that he'd seen, but he'd never really spent any time talking to him. And the neighbor says, and he was very nervous. He said, sir, I don't want to bother you anything, but it's Christmas Eve, and tonight we're having services at our church, and I just want to come over here and invite you. If you don't have anything going on, would you be willing to come with me to church and go to our Christmas Eve service? The man said, I already have plans, and he began to shut the door. And the neighbor wouldn't let him shut the door. He said, sir, listen to me. I don't do things like this. I can't even explain what I'm getting ready to say to you. But I was next door, and I had this feeling come over me. It was the presence of God. And God told me to come over here and to invite you to our Christmas Eve service. And he told me not to take no for an answer. So the man said, I went to that Christmas Eve service, and that night I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And my life has never been the same since. I want you to write this down. God does not love you who he wishes you were. He loves you as you are right now. And I say to you today, and this last thing I'll say, just take me 60 seconds to say it. If you're here today and you're tired of being tired, if you're lonely and you're here and you think that nobody cares about you, if you're here today, you've got so many problems, you don't even know where to turn. You're hurting beyond measure and you have no sense of joy in your life. If you're here today and you're miserable with everything that's happening in this world, and you're seeking fulfillment in the things of this world, if you're here today and you are joyless, you need the good news of Christmas. And what you need to do is come to Jesus Christ, the Savior who came into this world to save you. The story is for you. He wants to save you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to set you free from your past, and he wants to give you the assurance of everlasting life. If only you will receive this gift called Christmas. The story of Jesus coming into this world was the fact that he came for you. Do not leave that gift underneath the tree. Open that up and receive Jesus Christ as Lord today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Oh, you're getting out of church early today. Somebody say amen to that. If you're watching on the screen, on the internet, somewhere around the world, there's a phone number there. You text Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. You text Jesus to that number on that screen. We'll get a hold of you. And if you're here on this campus, over to my left by the baptistry are some doors. If you're not saved, if you're empty, if you're broken, if you're lost, if you're searching, if you have no joy, if you're wondering how you're going to get through today, if you don't have the assurance of everlasting life, oh, when I'm done praying, run over there through those doors and give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, we thank you for today. I can't even put into words how in the depths of my soul, I couldn't wait to preach on the story of Christmas and what it really means. Because everywhere I look in this culture, I just see despair and depression and emptiness and people chasing after things that will never fulfill or ever satisfy. And as a pastor and as a Christian, I know that the gospel is what saves. I know that Jesus saves. And that today, just like that man knocked on that guy's door, that Jesus is here knocking on the door of every heart. He will never force his way into your life. You have to willingly open up that heart and say, Jesus, come into my life. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to love you. I want to honor you all the days of my life. I pray that there'll be people here today who'll come, walk through those doors, give their life to Jesus Christ, be baptized into his name, rise to walk in newness of life. Lord, I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who's here today. I pray that you would give them a joy that only comes from you. I pray your blessing. I pray you'd bring us back next weekend for our Christmas Eve services. Help us to find someone. I mean, everywhere in this city, there are people that need to be in church. Help us to go find them. Bring them with us. Bless us and help us to never forget the good news of Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you and thank you for coming to church today.